Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Today's episode is being brought to you by Social Joey, VetFran, and the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference. Hello, geeks. Jack Munson here, your social media consigliere, along with Leanne Caruso. What's up, Leanne?
Hey, Jack. I am excited about today's topic.
Me too.
The nerd that I am, or the geek that I am, I should say.
Geeks, nerds, they're all welcome here. And speaking of which, today's guest is talk about some SEO trends. It's our old friend, Carolyn Lydon. She's the lead SEO and owner of Search Hermit, and she joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into all of the geekery, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your story?
Yeah, sure. So I actually just recently went out on my own and opened my own business to help small businesses and startups with their search engine optimization and overall digital marketing strategy with a focus on SEO. And that sort of started from when I was a kid. My family owned a small family business. So I, on the weekends and after school, I did things like stuff envelopes in an assembly line and like all sort of marketing activities that were popular, oh geez, like 20 years ago. So I feel old saying that now, but so I was sort of raised in a small business startup mentality setting. And so I now, as an adult, after many years in SEO, content creation, digital marketing strategy for multiple different industries and working for other people, I realized that my passion is really helping the small businesses that I sort of like grew up in with this thing called SEO that I think a lot of people just are like, oh, it's keywords. But I'm hoping to not only bring more to the table for small businesses in terms of implementation of SEO, but also the education side of things so that eventually people can learn how to do it, or at least the basics of it on their own, so that they can, you know, do well in search engine results for their individual localized or national businesses.
So I am one of those guys who says, oh, it's keywords, right? So tell me, what exactly is SEO and what are some of the common misconceptions?
Yeah, so I'm actually in the process of developing an online course called Beyond Keywords, where I'm trying to help people see that SEO is more than just saying, I want to rank number one for, you know, like cleaning in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I'm from, cleaning services. It's more than just ranking for that individual keyword. There's a technical side of SEO. It's how you develop your website. It's your navigation. Is it user-friendly? A while ago, I actually wrote an article for a company that I worked for about how I believe search engine optimization is really about user experience optimization. So that may sound more technical than it needed to, but really it's that search engines nowadays are really focusing on not what you're specifically searching, but what it means when you search for specific keywords. So they're trying to figure out what the user is actually looking for based on what they're searching for and serve up the best results that they can and create a good user experience for their searchers. Because if, you know, one reason, in my opinion, people don't use Bing is because it doesn't provide a good user experience. You search for something and you think, this makes sense, I'll get the result that I need right away. And you end up searching multiple times, trying different keywords and different variations. And eventually you'll switch to Google and get what you want pretty quickly because they've figured out with through algorithms and machine learning what people are actually looking for when they search for specific keywords. And they take in a bunch of different clues, like where people are when they search, what is their past search history, what are people in that area searching for, like, if something is happening, like, for example, Game of Thrones or the Super Bowl or something like that, is there an event that's happening right now that people are doing a lot of searches about? They take all that context and try to provide the best user experience so people continue to use that search engine. And so I want to help people relay that onto their websites. So not only creating the content that people are looking for when they're searching for specific things, but creating a user experience on your website that people expect and that will keep them coming back when they need your product or service again.
So I think that's really interesting the way that you just described that, and education really is key because it is beyond the keyword. There are so many people that I talk to that don't understand really truly what SEO is, and it's this big puzzle that, you know, nobody really gets. But all of the pieces kind of have to get together to go together in order to get to create the bigger picture for a better user experience, so that Google, Bing, whoever delivers exactly what you're looking for. So part of that involves content, right? And technical. Can you kind of explain like the pieces and parts that need to come together in order to do it? Because I think people don't understand that if your website's not working, the technical side of SEO, which I think kind of blows people's minds, that's like, oh, way over my head. I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, the technical side of SEO and how that comes together with the content side of SEO and how they work together, because one without the other isn't necessarily going to work for you.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. So I split, when I do an audit for someone, I'll split it into sort of like four basic categories. So there's on-page SEO, which is sort of like what you put on your page, your meta descriptions, your title tags, things like that. That if, for example, you have like a WordPress site, there are easy plugins to help you sort of give Google the seeds it needs to provide good search results for people. Then there are elements of technical SEO, which is sort of like how your website is built. Does it load really quickly? Is there a sitemap that's easily crawlable? Does it update regularly? Does your website respond based on the device that someone is on? So I'm sure you've all gone to a website where you're, you know, searching on your phone and you see what would be a desktop site on a mobile device, and it's really small and you have to like zoom in with your fingers and it's hard to navigate. A responsive site will adjust and make the line breaks and adjust the navigation and that sort of thing based on the device that someone is using. So whether they're using a tablet or a laptop or a full desktop or a mobile device, part of technical SEO is that mobile friendliness. And then especially for, I think, local businesses, and it's sort of like more advanced perhaps, is structured data. So structured data is sort of like, again, more clues to tell search engines what's actually happening on your site. And you can structure data around, hey, I'm a local business in this area, or the reviews that you get if you're putting some reviews on your site, which can help with some search engine results and getting those stars under your search engine results in SERPs. And then the next one is sort of a content audit. So I actually, I host a Twitter chat every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we recently talked about content for local businesses. And a lot of people were saying, you know, sometimes a local business doesn't need a blog if they're not going to blog regularly. And more people are coming in from other, perhaps, citations or listings. And so it's about determining content for a local business, to me, is determining, does someone actually need content? Is it something they can produce regularly? Or should we just focus on these specific navigational pages on somebody's website? So I consider a basic navigation like home, about, services, contact, and then if you want to include a blog or news or something like that. Making sure those, essentially your 5-page website, all the pages on the website are written well. They help people understand what you do and they help people convert. So if I go to a website and there's no way for me to contact you or to call you or to fill out a form or to get in touch with you to use your product or service in any way, then I'll just go back to the search engine results and find the next person who I can. So keeping sort of that in mind, conversion focused content on local sites and personalizing it to what that individual site needs. And then there is what is generally known as off-page SEO. So things that aren't necessarily on your website that sometimes are out of your control, but you can help guide. So how many people are linking back to your site? How are your local business citations doing, your Google My Business page. I consider a Facebook page a citation. You have to list your address, phone number, that sort of thing. Are you doing a review campaign to encourage more reviews on those citation pages and review pages? That's sort of like the element of off-page SEO. So it sounds like a lot, and it probably sounds overwhelming for small business owners, but I think there are ways that you can sort of like make it incremental, and it's something you work on weekly or monthly or that sort of thing to sort of help break it down for you.
It can't be ignored. So I think people, it's overwhelming, or they don't understand it, and they don't understand how it actually affects your SEO and your presence online, that people either put it back burner, or they ignore it, and then it becomes even a more costly event for them because they're going to have to pay to fix what has been broken probably for a long time. People think SEO is expensive, and because they don't understand it or they don't see immediate value in it, I think that they put it aside as one of the lower parts of their marketing budget, if even a part of their marketing budget, because with paid advertising, you know, it's like flipping a switch on and off. They immediately can see results. But SEO is a longer game and also has legs, though. Once you turn it off, it's still working for you. You know, even if you turn it off for a bit, it's still working on your behalf as long as you keep up with it.
And I just went out on my own for my own small business. And I'm honestly like, I think a lot of times, especially when you're like a franchisee or a small business owner or a startup, you think I have all these ways to spend my time. And once you start getting clients, I've experienced this. Once I started getting clients, I'm like, I don't have time to work on my own SEO, which is bad because that's what I'm selling. So like, I don't have time to write my own blogs and stuff like that. So you either have to make the time and learn it and do it like you were saying, you know, over time, you know, break it up for yourself, or you need to hire someone to help you to do it. And it doesn't have to be an all-in-one thing. Like, you don't have to flip your whole website overnight. It can be incremental because, yeah, like you were saying, SEO is a long game. And in my opinion, I think a lot of people see SEO as like an element of marketing. It's part of a marketing strategy. Obviously, I'm biased, but I feel like it should be sort of the foundation that you build all of your digital marketing strategy on, because you can benefit from a lot of the things you learn in SEO or what you're pulling, the information you're gathering. You can apply that to your social media. You can apply that to your paid search, the keywords that you're ranking well for or not ranking well for. In organic, you can update your paid to adjust to that sort of thing. So I think it's sort of like a base layer. Obviously, I'm biased, but when I've seen companies really apply it as the foundation of their marketing, I think it's amazing what can happen.
I like this idea of incrementally improving and increasing your SEO and you know, kind of doing it every day all year long and not having to, you know, do it once every few years and then re-overhaul everything. Are there some things, though, that people did, let's say 4 or 5 years ago, that were getting great results that you really don't do anymore and they can kind of skip now, or maybe just the way Google has changed just doesn't work anymore?
Yeah, Google has definitely evolved over the last 5 years. Like I was saying a little bit earlier, they're focusing on pulling many more points of context when people search. Even now, you know, there's a really great blogger and SEO. His name is Bill Swaski, and he actually looks at the patents that Google files and tries to determine what's going on behind the scenes at Google based on the patents they're filing. And there's a lot of talk in the SEO community now about a lot of times, sort of like I was speaking about earlier, we're focusing on individual keywords, specific keywords. But Google is looking at more like an entity level. So what does my business mean as an entity? And like, what are the categories that it falls under? So it's sort of a more zoomed out approach almost to the way search engines are working now. And I always preface when I really love talking about this. So if I start rambling, feel free to be like, all right, you're done. But I really love talking about like how search engines work. So they, a search engine has essentially little like crawlers that they go through most sites on the internet, and they essentially crawl all of the text-based code on your site. And they try to figure out the correlations between everything. And then I tell people, essentially, Google stores it in a giant Beauty and the Beast library. So there are tons of volumes for it to choose from. And then essentially, you go to that library when you search, you type things in, and Google tries to take in all these context clues, not only about what the person is searching, but the everything in its library. And then it hands you a stack of books ranked, essentially, by what it thinks will be most useful to you, down to what it thinks will be least useful. And that sort of, I think, the perspective that people need to take is like this zoomed out approach, which sort of lends itself to the incremental work in SEO as opposed to trying to do it all at once and be done with it. Is that because Google is constantly changing and updating algorithms and adjusting and tweaking, that people see these like grand fluctuations when they're very zoomed in to things like their Google Analytics and traffic and stuff like that. But when you zoom out, you can see like incremental improvement over time when you're focusing on the larger picture. So focusing on, how am I serving my users' needs? What are things that people are looking for that they don't know that I'm the solution to the problem, whatever your product or service is, and really looking at that as opposed to focusing on the specific keyword. Search engines have evolved over time. People were keyword stuffing and that was working for a while. And then, you know, Google figured it out. And essentially they've gotten to the point where search engines, but specifically Google, has gotten to the point where they're really focusing not on the specific keywords, but on the general idea. Like, what does this mean? If I search for Chicago pizza, is it because I'm in Chicago and want a pizza? Or do I want a Chicago style pizza near me right now? Sort of thing.
That's interesting. So what are the, I know we have to wrap up soon, but what are the trends for the rest of the year and kind of into 2020 that you're seeing? What's next? What patents or Google filing that we need to kind of keep our eye out for?
Yeah, so I think, like I mentioned earlier, the general entity thing, but that's sort of like sort of like space age. Even I don't understand all the concepts. I've been to a lot of conferences and they've talked about it a lot, and even still I'm like, wait a second, I don't understand this completely. So I think for like actionable takeaways for local businesses and small businesses, I would focus on, especially if there are platforms that you can solicit reviews for, and then obviously within the terms of service of that platform. There's Darren Shaw of WhiteSpark. I think it's WhiteSpark, has some really good ways to solicit reviews within people's terms of service. So I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'll just give everyone a gift card if you give me a 5-star review, which you can't do. You can't solicit specific reviews. But I'll send you guys a link to include in this if you want to as well. So I think focusing on what you can do within your specific bubble, whether it's my bubble is this specific service area or this specific industry or things like that, like focusing on what you can do in your area, whether it be reviews, creating thought leadership content to drive more traffic to your site. And then one of the things I really have been like nailing down or trying to like hammer into people is focusing on where people are in the funnel when they come to your site, and not necessarily trying to force people to the bottom. So like not trying to force people who are just researching to buy, because that, you know, that turns us all off right away when you're like, what kind of refrigerator should I put in my house? And then someone's like, buy a refrigerator now. And you're like, I just want to know if I need stainless steel or not. And so it's that, I think, is one of the main things I am pushing for people, is don't necessarily try to force people down the funnel to the very end. Force them to the next stage of the funnel. So if someone's looking for something at the top of the funnel, what's the next stage down? That's sort of like medium, a soft conversion is what I like to call it. Like maybe sign up for a newsletter to continue to learn about refrigerators or something like that.
To me, that applies to paid advertising as well as SEO. So, you know, just because they do a pay-per-click ad, that doesn't mean you're immediately going to buy a franchise from you just because they said, you know, best restaurant franchises to own in Tampa, Florida. And then all of a sudden it's like, buy this restaurant franchise. Well, that's not how it works. Like, let's do the funnel, or let's do the sequence ads in order for us to get to that point. And if your website also mimics that same strategy, then I think that you're in a much better place.
I
think that's why search engine results now, when you search for things like, you know, like best franchise or something like that, the review sites that have quote unquote unbiased opinions are what come up now, as opposed to individuals. So Google's trying to, and other search engines are trying to sort of like understand that and like the bias and that sort of thing. So yeah, go ahead.
This has all been really good information, and I think that we could probably keep talking for hours. So Jack, I don't know if you're up for it, but I'd love to have her back on and talk specifically about franchise development websites. That's a whole other beast we'd love to cover.
I think we want to have you back soon and really dive into the franchise development website controversy that we all of the conferences in the franchise marketing space all across the country that sometimes leads to arguments and things being thrown. But a lot of people are very passionate about that idea. One note, I think that might be a topic of conversation and maybe some trouble at the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference, which is happening in Atlanta on June 18th, 19th, and 20th. Keynotes include Duncan Wardle, head of creative and strategy from Disney and Pixar, and yours truly will be leading a social media panel and case study with three very cool franchise brand marketers. Also, special musical guest to be announced. So stay tuned for that and register today at franchisemarketingconference.com. Also, Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at vetfran.org. And by the way, great job on the new vetfran.org website, guys. It looks terrific. It looks exactly how you want it to look. So kudos there. And I want everybody to go to vetfran.org and check it out. Carolyn, we have 2 minutes left. Give us all of the places where we can learn more about you, learn more about Search Hermit and your activities, and where can people go and ask you more questions about SEO?
Yeah, totally. So you can find me at searchhermit.com. That's my business website. You can join any SEO chat, Twitter chat, on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Twitter, I'm at Carolyn_Lyden, CAROLYN_LYDEN.
We will have links to all of those locations on the socialgeekradio.com website so people can connect with you there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Great show and good night.